Well, it's been dubbed the Sinn Féin tsunami. The party is now the largest in local government and the Assembly in Northern Ireland, and even picked up council seats in some unionist heartlands for the first time. First Minister-designate Michelle O'Neill says the result shows voters want a return to power sharing at Stormont, and she joins us now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Una.
Did you anticipate that scale of success in this particular election?
Well, we fought a very positive campaign and one that very much resonated, obviously, with the voters. We told people what we were for, what we were trying to achieve. And we're very much focused in the future and building a better society here. So I think that that's very much what the voter recognised and took on board, and even more than that, endorsed. So we suspected from early on that we would do well, given the response that we were getting from the voters. But obviously, we've went on to have a momentous election result, which comes very hot on the heels of last year's Assembly election result, where we became the largest party of local government, or of the Assembly, and now obviously the largest party of local government. So there's now big responsibility on us, which we take very seriously in terms of, you know, trying to now get back into the Assembly, get an executive up and running, and deliver in a local government way, deliver, you know, local services for people with our hardworking council team, which of 144 councillors, which is up from 105 councillors in the last election. So that's quite significant.
And what exactly, in your view, are the next steps now for a return to power sharing?
So we haven't had power sharing now for a year and a half. The DUP walked away. They walked away because they said that they wanted to influence the protocol discussions and negotiations. Those negotiations are now complete. So there's no rhyme nor reason for them to stay out of, you know, having a locally elected assembly and executive delivering good public services for people. So I'm now calling on both governments as co-guarantors of the Good Friday Agreement, so the Irish government and the British government, to come together to establish a meeting of the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference and come up with a plan for the restoration of the Assembly, because all the while, whilst the DUP stay out of the executive and the Assembly, public services are suffering, the public here are suffering because of austerity and cuts that are coming directly from London. So it's not a tolerable situation. There shouldn't be any more delays, and I want to see a plan on the table for how we're going to get back around the table together to make politics work and to have a locally elected assembly.
Well, the DUP did manage to hold on to the same number of seats from the last council elections, which is by no means a disaster, indicating that there is a substantial number of people in Northern Ireland who did endorse the DUP's position in collapsing power sharing.
But top of the DUP's manifesto in this election was that they wanted to restore the executive. So they asked people to vote for them and in which to get back into the Assembly. So now there shouldn't be any delay. Let's do that. Let's get back into the Assembly. Let's work together. Let's do the business for people. Let's, you know, deliver good public services. You know, we have a hugely challenging budgetary situation in the North right now, and a direct result of Tory austerity and cuts after cuts after cuts. And we now need to fight back against those things together. So I encourage the DUP to join with the rest of us and actually make politics work, you know, to form that executive. And there shouldn't be any delays, but the two governments really have a role to play here in terms of how they shape and influence what the DUP do next. I mean, the rest of us stand ready, have been ready from last May, but the DUP have refused to honour last May's Assembly election result, which would have me installed as the First Minister. And that's where we should be, because now is the time for us to be working together.
Okay. Now, Stormont has been in a dysfunctional cycle of stop-start government for nearly 25 years. So if the institutions do come back, would anything be different this time? Would you, for example, support Alliance in their reform proposal so that no one party can ever collapse the institutions again?
Well, firstly, we have to have the institutions up and running, which I hope that's where we can get to. And I think that's certainly what the public have asked for in this election. So all efforts should be made to get us back in there. We're absolutely up for the conversation around reform. Let's do that. But let's do that in the aftermath of having a reformed executive. And you talk about the dysfunctional nature, maybe, or the up and down of politics in the North. It is the nature of things. But this year we celebrated 25 years of the Good Friday Agreement. And it's been a fantastic, you know, transformation of our society from 1998 to where we are today is absolutely immense. And it's something to be celebrated despite all of the political challenges and the ups and downs of the politics of the place. But I do think that power sharing is where we all need to be. We need to be in that executive together. We need to be working together. Even though we all come from different political perspectives and different backgrounds, that's okay. Respect the difference, but try to do our best together and fight back against the austerity agenda from London. I think that's in the best interest of the people that we collectively serve. I think we need to get there, but certainly we can talk about the reform agenda for sure. But let's do that in the aftermath of a reformed executive. What the public endorsed in this election is that they want last May's Assembly election result respected. They want a functioning executive. They want councillors that are going to work for them. And they want people that are providing positive leadership. And they see that in Sinn Féin. And I'm very grateful for all those people that voted for that in this election.
Okay, Michelle O'Neill, First Minister Designate. Thank you. We're also joined by John Tong, Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool. He's in our Belfast studio for us today. John, the nationalist vote seemed to coalesce around Sinn Féin this time. Do you think that will continue?
Yes, I don't think there's any particular way back for the SDLP. It wasn't just a case of Sinn Féin taking votes from the SDLP. Yes, more than half the seats that Sinn Féin gained were from that party, but nonetheless, Sinn Féin made gains in seats from all the parties right across the north. I think the other thing to note is that it wasn't just a case of Sinn Féin hoovering up the SDLP's vote. If you look at the percentage jump in Sinn Féin's vote share, it's bigger than the drop in the SDLP's. But there's no doubt, you know, the dominant party for the foreseeable future within the north is Sinn Féin. It was a positive campaign that they ran. It was under the label of Working for All, and it reflected a, you know, quite changed approach from Sinn Féin in how they pitch their election campaigns these days.
And the result there, a resounding success for Sinn Féin. Will that make it easier or more difficult for Geoffrey Donaldson to take the DUP back into Stormont?
Well, I think it's the DUP's own performance that will make it slightly easier for Geoffrey Donaldson to take his party back into Stormont, because their vote held up. The DUP had a good election. They started out with 122 councillors. They've ended up with 122 councillors. A higher percentage of DUP candidates were elected this time than at the last local election. That means that if Geoffrey Donaldson wants to move his party back into Stormont, it's not a case of going back in with his tail between his legs. He can go in with his head held up high saying, look, I've got a renewed mandate from the Unionist community. But, and this is the big but, can Rishi Sunak, as British Prime Minister, offer what the DUP is demanding? They want a shoring up of Northern Ireland's place within the Union. Constitutionally, that's governed by the Good Friday Agreement. So can the British government legislate to improve Northern Ireland's position within the UK that doesn't contravene, in trading terms, the Windsor framework, the deal with the European Union? That's the difficulty. The only other option for the British government is to reform Stormont and bypass the main party of unionism. But the Prime Minister has indicated he doesn't want to go down that road at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And John, unionist politicians have been saying that they now need to wake up and smell the coffee. Some are even calling for a merger of some of the unionist parties. Do you see that as likely?
No, I don't think a merger is possible. First of all, the vast bulk of Ulster Unionist Party members, despite their declining fortunes, don't want to merge with the DUP. There's still a lot of bad blood between the two parties. And what would they merge on? There's fundamental differences at the moment between the Ulster Unionist Party, which doesn't see the collapse of Stormont as the appropriate way of tackling the Northern Ireland Protocol stroke Windsor framework, versus the DUP and the TUV, who do see staying out of Stormont as the way to get change from the British government in terms of the Windsor framework or protocol. So, you know, you can't paper over those differences. There are significant intra-unionist differences which make a merger or realignment very, very unlikely.
John Tong, Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool, thank you.